Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
Four tries, another idea.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. More pink slips from Ford Motor Company. Today, the automaker is expected to announce it will expand buyout and early retirement to 75,000 hourly workers. This move is part of a broader restructuring plan. The goal is to get Ford back into the black. Rebecca Lindland is an auto industry analyst with Global Insight. She says everyone is watching to see what new car designs Ford comes out with.
One of the things that will really tell us whether the light at the end of the tunnel is in fact sunshine or a train wreck is, what do they show at the upcoming Detroit Auto Show in January? What do they show at the LA Show this coming November? What do they have on their future product lineup, even in concept form? We need to see something from them.
Lindland says Ford's cost-cutting measures are a step in the right direction, but she sees them as just the start of the long road back to profitability. Ford hasn't said how many workers it hopes will take up its offer for buyout and early retirement. Previously, it's announced plans to cut as many as 30,000 jobs by 2012. The New York Times is reporting that the Interior Department is close to a deal with Shell and Amoco Oil Companies. This agreement could prevent the government from losing billions of dollars in royalties from the company's oil and gas drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. The two firms are among 56 that signed deals with the U.S. in the 90s, but those original leases were flawed and could cost the government $10 billion in lost revenue. Some lawmakers want the leases to be renegotiated, but the Bush administration doesn't want to pressure the companies to agree to that. The Indian government wants to give financial incentives to people who marry members of lower castes. The plan aims to weaken the country's pervasive caste system. Critics say the ancient social hierarchy limits many people's opportunities from the day they were born. From New Delhi, Miranda Kennedy has more.
The government plans to pay higher caste people to marry people from the lower ranks of society. It hopes that offering them $1,100 to do that will help bring about social change. The sum is no pittance in India. It's enough to let couples set up a new home, which is exactly why the plan won't work, says caste analyst Shell Mayaram.
People are going to sort of undertake marriages. The upper caste men with lower caste girls typically undertake the marriage, get the money, and then go in for a divorce or take a second wife.
People who marry outside their caste in India are often ostracized by their community or even killed. It'll take more than $1,000, she says, to change 4,000 years of that. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
It may have been good for Popeye, but it could be deadly for you. We're talking about bags of fresh spinach. Health officials say raw packaged spinach is a likely source of an E. coli outbreak. One person has died. 49 others have gotten sick. Cases have been reported in Connecticut, Idaho, Indiana, Michigan, New Mexico, Oregon, Utah, and Wisconsin. California is also investigating a possible incident. Officials have issued a nationwide warning since they don't know where the spinach comes from or how widely it's distributed. Didn't look too good on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow fell 15 points to 11,527, and the Nasdaq was up only a point at 2228. This is Marketplace. Primary election season is here. Marketplace's Lisa Napoli says buckets of money will be spent to get your vote.
Even though it's just a midterm election year, campaign spending is going to amount to a king's ransom. Experts anticipate a record $1.6 billion will be spent to woo voters. And forget all the talk about the rise of the internet and even cable TV as campaign tools. Ad Age reports that Evan Tracy of the Campaign Media Analysis Group says old media are going to prevail.
State and local races continue to be married to broadcast television. I see it as the weapon of choice. Television is the biggest megaphone that these campaigns have.
Tracy says you ain't seen nothing yet. Spending's really going to soar for the wide-open presidential election in 2008. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, brought to you by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting communities through grant-making, volunteers, employee giving, and creative partnerships. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at Medtronic.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation. helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Frank Lloyd Wright is probably America's most famous architect. He built more than 300 structures, ranging from private homes to public museums. About 80% are still standing. But recently, several Wright homes have all been bulldozed. More are on the chopping block. Why would anyone tear down a Frank Lloyd Wright building? Stacey Vanek Smith reports that Wright homes don't always make good neighbors.
Frank Lloyd Wright's so-called Ennis House is perched on the edge of a cliff in the Hollywood Hills overlooking Los Angeles. The 1924 home looks like a Mayan temple and is constructed entirely of specially molded concrete blocks. It's been used in more than 80 movies, including Blade Runner and The Day of the Locust. It even served as the house on Haunted Hill in the 1959 Vincent Price classic.
I've rented the house on Haunted Hill tonight so that my wife can give a party. A haunted house party. She's so amusing.
Sounds like a real boon to have in the neighborhood, right? Not necessarily. For one thing, it's falling apart. The wall that supports the Ennis House and its steep perch has been collapsing for decades. Last year it got so bad, the city deemed the home dangerously unstable.
So the workers right now, you can hear, they're actually building the pylons.
That's Robert Leary, president of the Ennis House Foundation. It teamed up with several conservation groups to raise the $6.5 million needed just to stabilize the home. It will cost an additional $10 million for a full restoration. Why so much? Well, when you're fixing a house that Frank built, you want to do it right. So if one of the concrete blocks gets damaged, you have to track down the original molds Wright used, research the materials that went into those blocks, and find somebody who can make a new one. But standing in the grand living room of the Ennis House, Leary says saving a space this special shouldn't be a question of money.
You would preserve a work by Rembrandt or Vermeer and masterworks of architecture. Well, that has to come into play.
But people living near the Ennis House have long complained the crumbling property was damaging their own home values. John Mutlow has lived across the street for more than 20 years.
It doesn't matter whether it's a Frank Lloyd Wright house or any house. You know, if it's in decay, negative effects on the community.
Mutlow is glad to see the house getting restored, but he's still concerned for the future.
If the use of the house is overtly public, then it brings the value of the community back down again.
Neighbors now worry once the Ennis House is renovated, the owners will want to make money off of it and that the community will face an endless caravan of tourists, movie vans, and private partygoers. Robert Layton is president of the Beverly Hills and Greater Los Angeles Association of Realtors. He says living next door to a work of art isn't easy, but it can pay off.
It's something that the owners take great pride into saying that they own. And it's also something that the neighbors can say, oh, yes, we live just down the street from the Frank Lloyd Wright. And I believe it also improves the value of the neighborhood.
Not everybody is willing to invest the cash and time needed for that payoff. Conservators estimate a full quarter of Wright's remaining buildings in the U.S. are at risk of demolition. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
We're podcasting. Check out our website at marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
Companies.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.